Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of July 11th, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well, Ted. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Good to have you here. So we're recording this show prior to our 45th President of the United States participating in something that's called the G20 Conference. So by the time you hear this, it'll all be over. It'll be interesting to see what actually transpired as opposed to what we imagine. But the fact is that the G20, so just so everyone knows, G20 stands for the Group of 20, and it's supposed to be the largest 20 economies in the world, are the 20 countries that comprise 80% of the world's economic output or whatever. It's the 20 biggest economies in the world get together and have this meeting. They meet yearly, and oftentimes the American president goes and respectfully leads the organization, but maybe not this time. Anyway, the one of the most important meetings for this year's G20 meeting, one of the most important topics, is the Paris Climate Accord. And recently, Mariah, I'll ask you, what did our unnamed and unnameable president do between the last time he was in Europe and this time as it relates to the Paris Climate Accord?
He pulled out of the climate accord to much frustration for all the climate hawks and really the world out there.
Yeah, he just said, we're not going to play anymore. Opening the field to China and others. And I guess Mr. Macron in France invited all American scientists and entrepreneurs who are interested in climate change to move to France, right?
Yeah, he said, we have a home for you. We welcome your talents.
Anyway, so what's coming up is the first G20, and people, I've seen it referred to now as the G19, because the United States has kind of opted out of world leadership. But the Paris Accord is still viable. It's still working. I think that Angela Merkel, who, God bless her, seems to get under our president's skin, right? She really bugs him because I think she's smart and strong. She's not backing down. I mean, she is becoming kind of the leader of Europe and is a bit of a climate hawk. Would you agree, Mariah?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with her.
I mean, she's got a lot going for her. Anyway, so we'll see. I guess now that it's all happened and you're listening to this around July 11th, look back and see what was the climate. How did it play? Was it important? Was there a big fight about it? Russia's there. Everyone else has agreed to the climate accord. No one else has backed out of it except our president. And it's an embarrassment.
Aren't there two other, right? Is it Nicaragua and maybe Syria
The two other countries that are not in it are Nicaragua and Syria.
Right. Syria and us now.
And us, right. Nicaragua is not in it because it doesn't go far enough. Right. It's not, the Paris Accord was not aggressive enough. And Syria, of course, because, oh my God, I mean, they've descended into hell, right? I mean, they, and it's just in Donald Trump, who is, yeah, so there you go. Anyway, keep an eye on what happened. I think that the world will go forward with the Paris Accords. I think there's a commitment. I think China wants to lead. Again, China is part of the G20. I think his name is Xi Jinping or something. He wants China to have the leadership, and I'm afraid they're going to get it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's, you know, we've opened up all kinds of opportunities for China and India to take our place in the global leadership.
Yeah. Well, and so, but there are a few bright clouds on the horizon. As I say, the world, I think, is committed in moving towards cleaner energy, despite Trump. And let's hope once he's impeached in a couple of years and he's gone that there'll be more thoughtful people around. But tell me, Mariah, I heard some interesting news from a automobile company which is much beloved by, well, my father always drove a Volvo and loved the Volvo. He loved the Volvo he had. And tell me, what did Volvo announce they were going to do this past week?
Right. So Volvo, which is, I believe, owned by someone who's in China, right? So it's China's kind of directing it. And it says all models that it introduced in 2019 will either be hybrids or powered solely by batteries, which is amazing news and very hopeful. It also sort of says when you start having these major car companies that are moving toward 100%, you know, well, basically away from fossil fuels toward hybrids and battery powered cars, it sends a big signal that that's where the market's going.
Absolutely.
And if we don't keep up, we're going to be left out, which is a kind of a recurring theme on climate issues. If you don't keep up, you're going to be left in the dark economically. France also has a ban. It says that it's going to ban all fossil fuel powered vehicles by 2040.
An outright ban, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, we're looking at a world full of electric or hybrid cars,
We're looking at a world right now that's committing to that, right? These companies and countries are saying this is the direction we're going to go in.
Right. And then you have the United States, where it hasn't been approved yet, but Trump is talking about peeling back some of the CAFE, the combined average fuel efficiency standards that Obama put in place for, which basically requires that vehicles have better gas mileage and continually increasing better gas mileage, more miles per gallon. And Trump is talking about peeling that back so that they're actually less energy efficient.
And to put that in context, I mean, Obama, God bless him, back when GM was about to go belly up in 2009, right? And there was all talk about whether or not the GM should be allowed to go bankrupt, right? Obama went in and lent them money, GM money, enough to survive on the condition that GM produced cars that could make 54 miles to the gallon by the year 2024 or something. That was part of the transaction where Obama saved the automobile industry. And you look back to how close we came to destruction. And I mean, I admire Obama a lot, but I mean, it was a wise thing he did. He put that in at the time, and now this other buffoon is trying to walk away from it. And GM is quite happy to be unburdened by the responsibility of trying to get 54 miles to the gallon. It's just, it really.
Yeah, you know, the joke's going to be on them, though, right? When all of a sudden Volvos are the hottest selling cars, they can't keep up because they didn't adapt and modify and innovate along with all of these other cars. It seems to me it would serve them well to sort of have their finger in the wind and say, wow, it looks like we're going electric.
I can remember, long before you were born, but I remember back in the 70s that, you know, the automobile industry ignored the Japanese imports. They didn't want to know. And I remember trying to buy a car and the salesman saying, this is an American car. You should buy an American car just because it was American, even though you could tell it was not as good a car. Right. But the GM ignored Toyota and Honda at its peril, that it spent decades trying to catch up. And to your point, Mariah, they're doing the exact same thing now, right? They're going to ignore the electrification, and they're going to say, oh, we're making money, and they're going to get caught. They're going to get caught. I mean, it's the report I heard about Volvo saying there are three big things in the automotive industry nowadays. One's electrification, one is China, and one is driverless cars. Right. This story with Volvo involves all three, because if what you're saying, it's much easier to make a driverless car if it's fully electrified, which makes sense. Right. If you have to have the control systems in your driverless car to control a combustion engine, it seems just much more complicated than having an electric motor and a battery, which is just intuitively simpler to control. So.
Right. Well, so, you know, fortunately, we've got Tesla here in the United States. Although I think they may be sending some of their manufacturing facilities right. abroad, but they have, they're here in the United States, and the electric vehicles. So the Model S in 2013 was voted Motor Trend Car of the Year. And this is not electric car of the year. This is car uh-huh. of the year, best car of the year. Uh-huh. And the Model S gets about 200 miles on a charge. It actually can supercharge in 5 seconds. It's at the top of its class in safety. Goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Again, I mean, you've seen the videos of the people in the passenger seat when they go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. I mean people are screaming. It's like being on a roller coaster.
Because... exactly. Yep. So, you know, this is a car that's 100% electric, and Tesla Motors is, all of their cars they're making are 100% electric. Of course, the Model S is about $70,000, so it's expensive. But the Model S's little sister, the Model 3, will feature many of the same desirable attributes, and it's going to be priced around $34,000. And actually, there are a couple Model S, Model 3s around, but they're going into big production mode, and I think the first 100 will be released by the end of this month, which is ahead of schedule for Tesla, and then. They'll be really ramping up so that there will be a bunch produced by December. And you know, it's not as fancy, of course, as the Model S, but it's 100% electric. It gets a lot of miles on a charge. Mm-hmm. It also can supercharge, and it's just 34, not just 34,000, but it's 34,000. And there's also some rebates you get. Plus you're never paying for gas.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 34,000 is a lot for a car, but you're going to get a rebate. And I mean, I tend to buy cheaper cars, but a lot of people, $25,000 for a car, a lot of people can buy that, right? I mean, it raises all kinds of issues about sort of equity. You know, we talk about, you know, environmental justice and complaints in California that there's special rebates for the Teslas so that rich people can buy them, right?
Yeah,
To, but on the other hand, I mean, it's you know, I don't know. I guess I'm willing to step in the right direction here, right?
Yeah. Well, and maybe that will also lead other car companies like GM to take the hint and start making affordable electric vehicles. So, and you know, the other thing about the Tesla is, you know, a conventional fossil fuel powered car has about 100 parts, hundreds of parts under the hood, whereas an electric car has about 20 moving parts.
Really?
So you don't actually have to take it in for regular servicing. You obviously don't need to have oil changed or anything like that. You take it in really to just get an upgrade to the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So you take it in, get the upgrade, and drive off with a car that's actually better than when you brought it in. And so you're not going to get a huge savings there, but you're certainly going to be having, between the rebates, you know, the state and local, state and federal rebates, and the less
lower
service,
maintenance,
lower maintenance, and you know, you don't ever have to put gas in it.
Well, there's a rule in engineering that says, you know, the lower part count is higher reliability, right? Just as I mean, the fewer parts you have in something, the more reliable it is, and that's just, you know, God's. I just wanted to say though, to go back to the 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. People don't realize that an electric, I sound like Donald Trump, people don't know this, maybe everyone knows it, but electric motors have incredible acceleration, right? Because if you think of sort of 1950s Grease movies, right, everyone sits around revving their car up, going vroom, 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 to get the RPMs of the engine very high so they can let the clutch in and scream off and accelerate, right? Because that's what you have to do with a combustion engine, because you don't have a lot of acceleration power at low revolutions. But with an electric motor, from standing still, you put your foot on the gas, that thing has the full acceleration without any kind of warm up, which is why the things can take off like a jackrabbit, right? I was talking to
like someone who's tried it out, huh?
I've ridden in one, and I rode in a Leaf one time, and it's got a special thing that prevents you from going too fast, because if you're not used to it, you step on it, the thing takes off like a jackrabbit.
Wow.
And so they have to govern you back a little bit, and of course it sucks up battery power, right, to go that fast. But if I can find the video, I'll try and post it. But the faces on the people as they go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds is really quite amazing, because I guess it's quite an experience. So Well, there you go. I think that yes, I think that the automobile electrification is the kind of indication that the globe is committed to the Paris Climate Accord, and even if our fair-haired 45th president of the United States is trying to walk away from it, I think there is life in the Paris Accord, and it's going to succeed. That's my hope anyway, right?
Yeah.
You agree with me, Ryan? You say,
Yeah, I hope so.
yeah.
We need to, so we can stay competitive with the rest of the world.
That's right. So we'll try and put up links to some of the stuff we talked about at the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can get to us on the Facebook page. It's /massclimateaction. You, of course, can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Overcast or Podbean or any of those directories. There's a lot of them nowadays. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, Mariah.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for listening in. We'll talk to you again soon. Don't go too fast in your electric vehicle. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool. Ha 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 ha.